Thank you for coming this morning. I'm thankful to be here, and thank you to Bob that invited me to teach this morning about shepherding, like 1 Thessalonians 5:14. When I read the title, I was just thinking about my pastoral life since I came to ministry. But before that, I would like to pray that the Lord can help us through the Holy Spirit to understand the Scripture. Thank you, Father. We thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for Emmanuel. We thank you because we have today this opportunity to open the Bible, the Scriptures, and see in the Scripture, O Lord, about shepherding, how we can learn, what you want us to know, that we can help people to grow in you, to be like you every day, like you, Lord Jesus. We want to pray today for everybody that are here, or those who are going to watch the video, that you can build up their lives in you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, in my first year of ministry in 1986, I was 26 years old. I was called to serve as pastor of a church that my father and my own and my family founded. And I didn't know how to shepherd the congregation. In that precise moment, we had a moral situation in our church. And I remember I prayed the Lord in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said, "Oh Lord, I'm going to shepherd this congregation. And I don't know how to do it." And because the people in my congregation were double of my age. And I had no life experience. I was just starting the ministry. I was 26. And after praying and fasting for several days, a kind of typical answer came to my mind. It's something like, with the word, experience helps, but the truth of the Scripture makes the people free. Then confronted with the truth, that situation that church was facing, and this led to the repentance and the process of healing for that family. Then I learned that shepherding is more than preaching and teaching. It's walking with your sheep all the way. I started to visit families to make sure that everything was fine. Visited the sick. I started to teach in what they really need to grow in the Lord. That took me a lot hours of my time. Make sure that everybody was walking in their, making their living. In other words, to be a pastor, shepherd of the flock. That meant to know all my sheep, where they live, what they do for a living, what are their challenges in their lives. I realized that ministry was more than, as I said, teaching the Scriptures. And at the same time, went to back to the university, finished my studies in electrical engineering, and work shepherding daily your flock involves more than just teaching them the Scriptures. Sometimes it's necessary to taste the flavor of their jobs, what they do. To better understand them, to get involved with people, work with them. That's what Paul the Apostle did in Thessalonians, in this church. He was living with them and all the way in all the things they were doing. That's why he writes this part, as Pastor Bob Harmon gave me to teach, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. If you have your Bible, please open your Bible. It's 5:14. But the context of the passage goes a little more than that. There it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, 12 to 28. I'm taking the whole passage, but I'm not gonna teach all the whole passage, but just I'm gonna focus in just four words: admonish, encourage, help, and patient. Be patient in this passage. But this I need a volunteer to read for me from the verse 12 to the verse 28 in your Bible. Yeah, you can read that. Thank you.
We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Shepherding is to lead believers to be more to the likeness of the Lord Jesus. If you are a leader, you have a flock. That's the purpose of shepherding. If you are leading a group, you want them to be like the Lord Jesus, like he is. There are many things that can be in the way, but Paul is saying this verse 14, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. Paul, I'm going to give you a little bit of context about this passage. Paul, Silas, and Timothy went to Macedonia for a port, which is a city called Thessalonica, during their second missionary trip, which is in Acts 17, 1 to 14. Before they went to Philippi, they were persecuted by the Jews because their preaching of the gospel. The rulers of the city took Jason as security to let the missionaries leave the city. After they arrived to Athens, Paul sent back Timothy back to Thessalonica, and in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1, 2, and 1, 2, and 5, to encourage the believers to report back to him. Timothy rejoined Paul in Corinth in 1 Thessalonians 3, 6, where two letters to the Thessalonians were written. Paul expressed his thankfulness to the Thessalonians, also defended himself against those who were saying that his ministry was done just for profit for himself, encouraged new believers not to go back to their old pagan ways. And that was a situation that was happening there in Thessalonians. It is perhaps an example may help to this. I grew up in a city, very pagan city, that I can understand the context of what Paul is writing this letter to the Thessalonians. The city is called Oruro. It's very pagan till today. They worship. Pastor Michael was with me there, but he didn't see the idols. I didn't show him the idols, but he knows the city where I was living. But the idols are, they have a condor in the south part of the city. They have a frog in the north part of the city, and they have a kind of mountains of sand in the east part of the city. And the people worship all those things, and they call themselves, they are Christians. And even the Catholic Church has a mixed kind of syncretic kind of belief for the people there. They understand what Paul is saying. He's hard for the people in Thessalonica, is not to go back to those ways, to the pagan ways. That's what Paul is saying. But Paul answers the questions about what's going to happen with believers before the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the second coming, and some other problems. But in this part of the scripture, what he's talking in verse 14 is about the Christian life. How's going to be their Christian life? And one of the things is exactly what we are talking about in verse 14. Urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. What made Paul the apostle be that affirmative, with that such authority, to talk about these four things? That's what we are going to see today. And verse 14, when it says, "We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle." Paul starts this section in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13, asking to their brothers in Thessalonica to respect those labor among them are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Then verse 14 is what comes after that, and we find four verbs in this verse. Let's see if, yeah, right there. You can see the four verbs are in capital letters: admonish, encourage, help, and be patient. That's what Paul is saying. Why the believers needed to be reminded about something that is almost normal for every believer to work. Why Paul uses his authority to remember them that they have to work because they were idle, just not working. Some other passages in Thessalonians are going to help us to understand their spiritual walk. According to 2 Thessalonians 3:11, they were giving up working because they expected the Lord Jesus Christ return. That was the problem.
Yeah.
And we are going to talk about these four words. Sorry. And they were giving up working. The reason was they believed that the Lord Jesus will come very soon. Well, if the Lord Jesus is going to come very soon, why we are going to be working? Just wait. Wait, the Lord's going to come, then we are not going to work. That was their belief of these believers. These believers found a true spiritual belief to stop working, and they were giving up working because they expected the soon Lord Jesus Christ return. It is true that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to return, but that is not the reason for stop working. They also needed to be reminded about the believers' stewardship. That's what Paul is writing this letter to them. Paul and his companions have taught to the Thessalonians to be industrious, as well as giving them a good example. Paul is not denying help for those who cannot work, but for those who don't want to work. That's the situation. The real situation was that there were people in the Thessalonian church that didn't want to work. Because the reason, because the Lord is going to come very soon, why I have to work? I have nothing more to do. That's why Paul is talking about admonishing them. They were not to support Christians that they don't want to work. Paul is saying those Christians let go hungry so they could be forced to work. That's literally Paul saying later, if you don't work, don't eat. That's kind of what the Bible in principle teaches to everybody. And returning to the scripture, sometimes for many people, especially in our culture today, is hard. Say these words sometimes sounds very hard, but it's the scripture, it's the truth. Then in 1 Thessalonians 2, 5 to 9, Paul talks about the hard work they did among the Thessalonians. They were an example to them. They worked hard among them, in the with the people. And in my experience in ministry back from Bolivia, where I started my ministry together with my wife Lily, and the U.S., probably the miracle of Peter or the beautiful gate can illustrate a good way to help people when they found an excuse for not to work. Acts 3, 1 to 10, in the sense that that enable them for work. That's the first thing I may do pastorally, to help them. And in the, in this context, sometimes people find ways not to work. Because I saw many times, we have like what we call here in church, POD, Pastor of the Day. That my Pastor of the Day, my POD is on Friday. That is Friday, 2 p.m. Before it was like on Monday, but now it's on Friday. Then I had very interesting encounters in that POD. I found many people avoiding the system in order to work. Not to work because they didn't want to work. Not because they cannot work, but they don't want to work. Many of them were believers. But it is important to understand this. And sometimes we have to admonish people. Say the truth in love. As Paul used to say, Paul had this authority to talk to people because he loved them. If you see the chapter 2, chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, you will see how Paul loved them. How Paul worked with them with his own hands. He helped the weak, the needy, with his own hands. That's why he had the authority to talk with people and say, okay, you have to work. You have to do in the same way I did with you. I remember once here, Northern Virginia, this lady didn't have a car to go from her home to her job. And we realized with my wife Lily that she needed some help. But if she's not going to get a car, she's not going to get to her job. Then we decided with Lily to talk with the manager. We went to this company. I went to that company to talk to the manager. I called him. I said, who is calling? Me. Pastor Juan Ancali from Hispanic Ministry, Emmanuel Bible Church, I want to talk with you. What's the reason of your visit? I said, you know, you don't have to do what I'm asking you today. But I'm going to ask you something because that's going to help somebody to continue working, to continue doing his duties. He opened his office to talk with me, and I said to him, you know what? This person lives very close from there's another agency, other store, very close to the home of this lady. Can you please transfer her to that location that she may continue working? You don't have to do that, but if you do that, that's going to be great for this family. After a while, he did that. Till now, that lady is working in that location. What Paul is talking is to enable the people with love to obey the Lord Jesus. If you can do something, I may say, Christian love may find ways to help other people if you love them. If you really love them, as leaders, you're going to find a way to help them in some way. You don't need to give money, but a very good idea can help to fix the situation to that person. I'm talking a little bit about my context because I didn't say that at the beginning of this session, but the context I serve is mostly in the Hispanic ministries, but I also deal with people, with all the people, of course. Then, to hear the word of God is something that always is good to recommend people. I realized something here today in the culture. People don't read the scripture. And even if they read the scripture, even believers, they read the scripture, don't believe in the scripture. They don't trust in the scripture. They trust more in books, in whether authors are right now selling books, but they don't trust in the scripture. But that's what I say, people, it's good to say people when they come for counseling in this area. Hear the word of God is like to see our face in a mirror. We can see our imperfections in it. And not only for salvation, of course, salvation is the main thing that people need. But living in the truth means better lives. Sometimes people don't realize they have wrong beliefs, but through the scripture, through the word of God, they realize about those beliefs. And they change completely their lives. Then the Bible, listen to the word of God, or come on Sunday to listen to the word of God, or when Pastor Jesse is preaching, or other teachers teaching the scripture, may change definitely people's life, and really can help the people. And that, in a way, helps to admonish people. Say, you know, I may say something nice to you, I may say something that is not gonna take you off of your comfort zone, but it's better to say the scripture, because it's truth, and the truth makes people free, not just for salvation, but for their daily lives. Then the believers do everything for God's glory, as Ephesians 6:6 states, but not by the way of eye service. It's another verse. As the people pleasers, but bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. What he's saying in this verse is, whatever the believers do, they have to do, especially in work, they have to do as for the Lord. And that's a principle we should understand. We should return to that principle. It's not that we work for the paycheck. We don't work for the things we receive. We work for the Lord. He's our Lord. Whatever we do, we don't work just because they see us. We work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes to say those truths to the people helps them. And that's part, I guess, this part to be a leader, to admonish people, to let them know about this truth. Sometimes we are very afraid. In this culture, people don't talk, right? Anymore. It's texts, right? Text, or now it's FaceTime, or whatever means of communication. But sometimes it's good to put your face. And sometimes you suffer rejection, but that's normal for a Christian. When the Christians were accepted, when the Christians were just happily deceived, when? It's just normal.
Yeah.
Somebody rejects you, is thank God. You did something for the Lord, but you said the truth. Help the people just to come back to what the Lord really wants us for us to do, is to shepherding people is like make people, help people to become like Jesus.
Amen.
That's what it is. Sorry about this. Yes, the believers do everything for God's glory. Then encourage. Sometimes we feel that somebody needs in our flock encouragement. Believers can be discouraged for several reasons. I found sometimes believers lose their faith, or they're to live their life with eternal perspective. That's why they got sometimes discouraged, because they don't see the day They don't remember the day when they're going to be standing in front of the Lord to give account of their own stewardship. All this comfort, all these things that we have here in the U.S., it's not going to be anymore. We are going to be just us in front of the Lord. And when people leave this perspective to live with eternal perspective, sometimes they are just discouraged. The joy of our life as Christians comes first of all from the reality to know about our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I'm saved. I know that one day I'm going to be with the Lord. And if that's true in my life, if that's a true belief in my life, that's going to help me to overcome whatever discouragement I may have in my life. These believers needed constant encouragement in their Christian lives, the Thessalonian ones. It can come through the weekly teaching of the Word of God. I'm very strong when I teach in ministry when I say you have to hear the Word of God. You have to read the Word of God. You have to meditate in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the truth. Because all truths are in the Word of God. Because that's what we believe in at Emmanuel, in our church, in the inerrant Word of God. The Bible is sufficient for every question I can have in my life. I have everything in Jesus. I am complete. I am full in Jesus. I have everything. My faith is standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we lose that perspective, we may be discouraged in our lives. We don't have to lose that perspective. We are in Jesus Christ. Then, while missionaries approach the situation stated here in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 to 12, one thing I saw that helps to people, and sometimes it's difficult when you come to the church and to belong to a Bible study. Sometimes people don't receive you with open arms. Sometimes they don't talk to you. But helping the people to connect with other people inside the church is part of what the leader can do. Create the conditions to make the people connect in our congregation, in our church. Our church is huge. We have several ministries, but if we open the possibility for those who come, for those news that come to the ministry, they can connect better with the church. And that helps with the discouragement, because when you feel alone and you come to church, nobody talks to you, nobody says hello, everybody's with the people they know, that is not going to help. But we need to do that, and I guess every one of us needs to do that, to encourage people to connect with other groups. Some words of encouragement are fine also, because there are people that are going through difficult situations in their lives. Something that helps believers to belong to a Bible study and may connect it, as I said, helps them to overcome the discouragement. And also, remember just the parable of the lost sheep. When you are leader of a ministry, sometimes it's needed to go to find the 100 sheep, 99 and find, but the one is missing. When you see somebody's missing, call them. Send them a text. Just send them a Bible text. I know many people are afraid about rejection. It's true. But it's part of to be a Christian. Nobody's going to receive you always well. It is said in this time of the culture, we are more afraid to talk. More afraid of personal contact, and the Lord was rejected also. But if you use the culture, when you get an elevator and you have two people in the elevator, one goes to one corner and the other one goes to the other corner. Did you realize that?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Personal space sometimes is an obstacle to get in contact, have relationship with people, to encourage the people. Right? But you can run the risk for the Lord. You can run the risk for the Lord to encourage people. Also, other thing I saw that is very helpful is visitation. It's not in fashion right now, visitation. Mm. But when I want to visit somebody, I may say, "Could you invite me a cup of coffee to your home?" I'm kind of old-fashioned pastor in this way. Nobody's going to invite you to have a cup of coffee in their home, but I always try, and sometimes works. Sometimes works to visit them. The other thing is send an encouraging text message and do the things for God's glory. If you love them, if you love your flock, you are going to find ways to encourage them. You are going to find ways to encourage them. You don't need to study that much to know what's the way you can find to encourage your flock. The other thing is, if they reject you, you can pray for them.
It's true.
In that way, you may say to them, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." And that helps the encouraging people. If you see 1 Thessalonians, Paul was praying, not just praying, but taking care of them very well, doing the ministry there in Thessalonica. Then we have help. I think this is talking about people with physical needs. Those are the weak. Obviously, they are not strong and courageous, as Joshua 1:8-9 says. They need support for the ministry. They do. A passage that Paul that mentions the weak is at the end of Acts 20:17-38. It is the farewell from the elders of Ephesus, the church. Every time I read this passage, moves me to tears how Paul states in that passage how he took care of the church, how they build up their lives, how was very caring and loving for this church. At the end, in the verse 35, it says, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" That's the recommendation of Paul the Apostle. Help the weak, those in need. That was his recommendation. Sometimes people do things. They work, they do all the things they have to do, but still need help. That's what they call, they need hands-on ministry. They need help. If somebody needs help, we may need a job, we may need to help them to find a job, to support to do that. But I think in every context it's a little bit different. But sometimes we need to give help the people who needs. And in a practical way, we can do that. It's true that we may hire a company to do that. But another thing that when you go and help the people by yourself, do the things by yourself for other people, they will feel your love, that you care about them. Sometimes it's good to organize things that we may go and help the people in need. The other thing is be patient. Yep. Yeah. The missionaries were, Paul is saying, were patient. It is stated in 1 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 12. They were very patient with the people there. They just taught them how to live as Christians with all patience. And patience is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is in Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. What he's saying is, part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in every believer's life is patience. It is just something that every regenerated person has. If you really believe in the Lord Jesus, if you're really a believer, then that fruit of the Holy Spirit is going to come up in your life. Then we can always help others. And we grow in our patience as we practice our patience also. As I said, patience is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's something that is expected to see in a believer's life. That's something that the Lord expects us to see, because he made the change in our lives, the regeneration. Also in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is patient. And then that's what Paul applied in the church of Thessalonica. People still learning the word of God. They come up with different kind of ideas. I experienced that in the ministry. New people comes, they come with different kind of ideas. Very new ideas, very strange ideas to the Christian faith. Some may call me father. For months, they think I'm a Catholic priest. But that's fine. They are still learning. You have to be patient with them. Or some may, I remember once this guy came and said, I want to be your bodyguard. Nobody's going to come close to you. Because in his mind was, I want to protect this leader. I said, I don't need any bodyguard. The wrong beliefs. But we have to be patient with them until they learn. Because when they hear the scripture, when they hear the word of God, their hearts will change. But not immediately. It's going to take a little bit longer. Paul, this guy came one day and said, I want you to pray for my rosary. He came running to the church and standing in front of me and said, I'm going to please pray for my rosary. I looked at him and said, what's going on here? And he said, I'm not going to pray for your rosary. I'm going to pray for you. He got mad. After the second week, still come back again, insisting to pray for his rosary. I said, okay, I'm not going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Then after a while, they come to know the Lord Jesus. Then patience needs to be shown as a result of your Christian love with people. If you love people, you are going to be patient with them. It takes time for some believers to change and get their faith straight. Meanwhile, they are in that process. It's necessary to have patience to teach them, to make sure that they are attending at least one of our worship services or attending to a class. Make sure they are reading the scriptures about their devotional life. That's another thing I found. It is important. Sometimes people, they don't have, they don't experience the fullness in the Christian lives when they don't have a good devotional life. They don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's one thing I ask, especially in my POD, when somebody says to me, I'm a believer. On Friday afternoon, in those meetings I have with people, the first thing I ask, are you a believer? Yes, I am a believer. Are you doing your devotionals? Are you reading the scripture every day? No, I don't have time. That's the reason. We need a lot of questions. You need to be in contact with the Lord. Keep your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those shepherding should admonish, encourage, help, and be patient with the believers. Shepherding is to lead believers to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers need to be admonished, encouraged, helped, and treated with patience to grow to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see 1 Thessalonians 5:14, shepherding like that is to love them like the Lord Jesus taught Peter, the apostle, in John 21:15-19. Is to be a servant leader who does the things with love, with humility and service, like in Mark 10:45, where the Lord said the son of God or the servant of God, he didn't come to be served but to serve, to serve people. And the Lord Jesus taught that the servant leader, that's what I see here, in order to admonish, encourage, help people and be patient with them, it is necessary to accept to be a servant leader, to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did. He was a servant leader of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord himself was a servant. And if you are like that, if we are like that, we can always do these things that Paul is teaching here. Then the Lord Jesus Christ instructs to the servant leader must act in love, humility, and servanthood. And those can do these things as Paul is saying. Then I wrote here something I copied here from an elder that was elder, John Hartman. Because when I saw 1 Thessalonians 5:14, I just remembered that the way to do these things is to be a servant leader. I just want to read these words of John Roth, Beth is here. John is with the Lord. It is absolutely essential that men appointed to positions having leadership, responsibility at the highest of the highest character, with servant hearts, a spirit of humility, a willingness to serve sacrificially, shepherds' love for the flock, and adherence for lording it over others, and a determination to refresh and extend those under their direction and care. It is necessary to consider the gifts required for this position according to the New Testament. Those are the words of John. We had in 2010 some questions about the leadership and how is going to be our pastor, future pastor. Those were the questions. And when I read this 1 Thessalonians 5:14, I remember his words. He wrote a paper. In the short conclusion of the paper is this part, that servant leaders can do this. If you want to shepherd like 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we have to accept to be servant leaders, because what we look for as servant leaders is to build the people's life, is to build the people's lives in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our objective as leaders. That's what we want. We want the people to be like Jesus. We want the people to follow the Lord Jesus. That's what we want. That's all we want. If we are not getting that point, something is in our heart And the best way to do that is to go to the scriptures. Admonish with the scriptures. We may see a lot of books in this world. You see a lot of applications in your cell phones. But the scripture is powerful. It's the only thing that is powerful and can change, because it's the word of God. We can encourage with the scripture. We can help the people, and we can be patient with them, because we learn from the scripture that patience is fruit of the Holy Spirit. And in that way, we may find a lot of techniques in the world that help people to overcome these situations, but they don't solve the root cause. They don't solve the root cause. The root cause is the sin that are inside of us. But if we see the scripture, we are going to see results in our lives.
Amen.
I don't know if you have questions or comments, but I just want to encourage you to shepherd, love your flock, as Paul is saying. If we love them, we are going to find ways to help them as best as possible in the scripture.
I have one comment.
Yes.
We just studied the 99, you know, the sheep. We just studied that in ancient Hebrew. And it said basically the meaning was this flock is 100.
Mm-hmm.
Flock is not 99. The flock is 100.
Okay.
If one's missing, you don't have a whole flock.
Mm-hmm.
And you are steward of a whole flock that the Lord has given to you. So if we put a value on the flock, like the Lord put a value on us, our whole attitude would be different. That person could be wayward, could be whatever, going astray. But we all have gone astray. But if we put a value on that person, the same as the Lord sees them, one flock, one's missing, we're going after. We're going back after that one, because they belong to us. We are all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are one. We are not 99. We are 100. In this room, however many we are one. Many members, but we are one.
That's good.
Thank you. Yes, I guess that's the... show the care for people sometimes we miss in our meetings, or just not coming to the meeting, or people we usually see in our meetings or our Bible studies. It's true, we should look for the 100, but the other 99 are fine, I guess.
Being patient too is good. That was good. Being patient.
Yeah.
That's the hardest sometimes with people.
Yeah, it's true.
It does mean a lot to somebody.
So patient with everybody. You're right, Gary, that's hard. I find it's like some need different things. You know, some need encouragement, and some need to be helped, some need to be admonished. I think the hard thing sometimes is being wise about what someone needs, you know, because I find myself maybe helping someone that I should be admonishing, or admonishing someone when I should be helping them. So how do you discern, like, what a person needs at a given time?
Yeah, that's why it's important to have a relationship. That's what the Lord, Paul did in Thessalonians. He lived with them. He walk all the way with them in their daily lives. We are not going to be able to do that in this time, because everybody has its job. But create a relationship is going to help you to understand the situation of every person. That is suggesting that we have to grow in relationship, in fellowship with people. Then you may realize. The other thing is prayer. Prayer helps a lot. When you pray for somebody, the Holy Spirit works in your heart through the scripture. Then you realize what to say or how to face a situation with somebody that you are praying for. Those things that I think are helpful in ministry to help them what to do. If it's encouragement, sometimes I just feel that's encouragement. And then because you have a relationship with that person or that family, if it's a family. You know their needs. Relationship means that you know their needs. You know what's their job. You know what are their objectives. What's their dreams. You know what they do. then you easily may learn what to do, how in what direction to minister them.
But you
are talking about patience. Yeah, it's hard to be patient with everybody, but this is what I say. We have to practice. If we are impatient with something, just take the next 2 weeks to practice it. Having patience in that situation. Just practice. Because if you don't exercise our patience, even if we have as fruit of the Holy Spirit, we are not going to grow in that area. We're not going to grow in that area. We are in denial that we don't need patience, but we need patience in that area. There are some things that just make us blow when somebody says something or in that area, but we should work in that area.
Yeah,
there's one other thing about the ancient Hebrew. It's really good to study that, because patience means long nose, you know, like long suffering. Because it's about the five senses. It's mean long nose. It's going to be a long time before I smell you, even though you're getting on my nerves. It's going to be a long time before I smell you. So, you know, like a bull, when he gets really mad, he goes, he snorts. When he snorts, you better run and jump the fence, you better. But with the Lord, he's long. He's going to be a long time before he smells Sodom. You know they stink. Long time before he smells the Noah's Bay. So learn how to be long-nosed. Does that make sense? See, then you will be snorting all the time. You'll be long-nosed and just wait patiently until the Lord changes. Of course, you walk in wisdom, but don't be so quick on the trigger.
Yeah, it's long suffering is what is patience.
Yeah.
And that's, but definitely that's in us. That's what's important to believe. If you really believe in the Lord, your Lord Jesus, and we were regenerated, that's there. We just need to grow. It's there. We need the will to grow in that area in our lives, to practice it. Then we are not going to be perfect in this life, but at least we are going to go in that direction.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then we're going to help the people to grow in that direction, right? Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
I hope we keep very careful, Pastor Juan. And really, I can see that in this part, you've seen Jesus, how he blessed with the people on that time, how he is with us right now. Patient, help, everything in Jesus. So thank you for this part.
Yeah, Jesus was like that, right? He was just perfect, nothing. The Lord Jesus just was a perfect model of the perfect servant of God. Mm-hmm. And his disciples described that, and the scripture describes that, which is very, very clear about how he was. And that's to be a Christian, really. To be a Christian is to be like Jesus. That's all it is. Every day to be better, like Jesus. And that's what we have to teach the people, and when they need something, we have to always point in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people struggle with many things, right? But perhaps everything just comes from the relationship with the Lord Jesus, or their beliefs, what they believe, really. Perhaps as the Thessalonians are just, they started, stopped to work because they had a wrong expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul corrected them.
I have a question. Is shepherding something that you have to learn as a pastor, or is that something that comes automatically?
I think we will learn as pastors. Yeah, we learn as pastors. As I read my story at the beginning of my session, it is just at the beginning you don't know what to do, especially when you're young and your people that are pastoring are double of your age. You don't have life experience. The only thing you have is your seminary studies, zero experience. But I discovered that the Word of God is powerful. And if you tell them, if you help them to find the truth, they will change, because the Bible changes, the scripture changes. And I guess my answer is you learn with the process. It's a continual process of learning, because especially here in America, the culture is changing all the time. You need to answer every new situation with the scripture. and you're still learning, because you find other kind of things that you have to deal with in the congregation or in the new people are coming. That's the part that's never going to end until our redemption is complete. And one day we're going to be with the Lord forever, and we are not going to be dealing anymore with sin. But meanwhile, we will be dealing with sin. Then that's why it makes the pastoral ministry continue learning process. Thank answering you. Questions.
We can teach our children to be shepherds in some way. Because I remember when I was little, my mom teach me how to tell people. If we have two hands and one kid didn't have a hand, he bring with me, go with me to that family and say, we want to give you this one, or food, or something. And I grew up, even I am not a Christian, I was Catholic. My mom was Catholic. My mom teach me to give everything that I did. And I think it's a habit too. Even a shepherding for pastors is learning more, because it means moral and difficult, other difficulties. But we can teach our children to be like shepherds, no? And also the Bible says that we have to feel like one body. It doesn't say different cultures, it says one body. And if my body, I hurt my finger, it will hurt me, and I will take care of my finger. And if we see the congregation, the church as one body, we can notice who needs something. Help, admonish, whatever.
Yeah. That we do here at Emmanuel, right? We have many people attending to Emmanuel, part of the church, and try always to help everybody in the way we can, right? If there's no more questions, or if there are more questions or comments,
actually, Pablo. I have a question and comment. And so I know, like in my experience, it's been sounds like when you want to admonish someone, you kind of come up against, like culturally we've been conditioned to mind our own business, mm-hmm. and not get into people's lives. Mm-hmm. So how do we, when we're shepherding, how do we like not cross that line between like, you know, like, admonishing people and just like not getting into their, like what's, like I guess like not being like too like intrusive into them. So I don't know, like, biblically how do we navigate that?
I guess the good example is Paul the Apostle, chapter 2, chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians. He spent time with the Thessalonians, a lot of time. When he spent time with them, he has the permission to say something to them, because he spent time with them. There is a relationship. You create a relationship. You have a relationship, they're going to listen to you, especially after that they know that you did everything with them with love, because you really care of them. Then if you say something or admonish, correct something, they're going to listen to you, because you've been part of their life, part of this relation. But if just suddenly you appear to admonish the people and exhort the people, they're going to get a reaction, very strong reaction. But if we are together, then we know, right?
Amen.
Then we can say each other. I experienced this in our missionary trips. Sometimes when we travel and we don't know each other when we start the trip, but at the end of the trip, we know very well each other. Then we can say many things very familiar. Then we are kind of friends. I say, you know, I saw this. Why do you want to change this or the other thing? Or just people opens up and to talk with you. This kind of natural thing that comes after a good relationship with somebody. I guess that's, I don't know if that can help the answer. If you wanna, sometimes that's why I wait for people to have a good relationship before correcting or admonishing something. Mm. That's what I do normally. Yeah. I don't know, like, they don't know me yet. No, that would be terrible. Yeah.
Could I have one comment? Because I had to admonish somebody years ago who was really going off the tracks. That word really means like warning. There's a red light. you don't want it, people, that there's a red light ahead. See, there's consequences for that. So may God give us grace and wisdom to know what happens if you don't warn. What happens to this person if you don't warn them? They could keep going the wrong way. So you don't know. You may stop them from running the red light. You don't know. But God, give me grace and wisdom. Not to be bossing people around, but give me love, compassion, and grace and wisdom to say you're about to run a red light. I mean, not that they're running up. You know what I mean? May God give me grace to warn. That you may be better, not worse, not to criticize you, but you may grow in grace to be in the image of Christ, what he wants in the first place.
It is to love people, I guess, is the best way. In my opinion, is the safest way. If you want to do something, it's in the Christian love.
Yes.
Christian love is the safest way to do the things. If you love your brother, your sister, you are going to do always something to build up their lives, to make them better for the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Time is...
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you
for coming.
Thank you.
And God bless you, and hopefully this teaching is going to help you in something, your Christian life, your leadership also.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.